Hello everyone, welcome to the will of God in the life and the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta. Let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray the unity prayer. My adorable Jesus, may our feet journey together. Make our hands gather in unity. Make our hearts beat in unison. Make our souls be in harmony. Make our thoughts be as one. Make our ears listen to the silence together. Make our glances profoundly penetrate each other. Make our lips pray together to gain mercy from the Eternal Father. Amen. We ask the Blessed Mother to intercede for all of us that through her maternal hands, we may receive the gift of possessing the divine will operating in us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we will continue with volume 23 of the Book of Heaven. The next passage is from November 2nd, 1927. And the title of this passage is Difference Between One Who Lives and Operates in the Divine Will and One Who Does Good in the Night of the Human Will. Luisa Picaretta writes the following: My flight into divine will is continuous, and my poor intelligence is as though fixing it. In its light, I could comprehend the great difference between the operating in the supreme will and the human operating. Good in itself, but without the life of the divine fiat in the action of the creature. So I said to myself, how can all this difference be possible? Let's stop here for a minute because we are going to read what our Lord Jesus has to say about this, but this title, let's go to the title again to understand what the lesson is going to be. Is the difference between the one who lives and operates in the divine will. In other words, the one who possesses this will operating and the one who does good, but not in union with the divine will. And although good actions, they, by virtue of being good, they are good in themselves and they give glory to God, but compared to the one who has the gift of the divine will operating in the soul is totally different. And this is what Luisa Picaretta is talking about, that it says, and it's the one who operates, the human will that possesses the divine will operating in him or in her, how that person or those actions of that person possess so much light and life, and the one who does not operate in the divine will, even though it's a good action, remains the action of the creature. And Luisa Picaretta questions why this difference between the two of them. So our Lord Jesus is going to explain in this next line. So this is what our Lord Jesus says: My daughter, the human will form the night of the human family in their souls. And if they do good works, even important ones, since good in itself is light, they unleash from themselves many little lights. It might be the light of a match, the light of a little lamp, or of an electric bulb, according to the good present inside the human action, and to the multiplicity of the actions. So are the lights formed. So let's stop here also. Our Lord Jesus is telling Luisa Picaretta that yes, these human actions, they produce good. But compared to the good that the one who operates in the divine will does, it cannot be comparison. So he will give us the example of the light. And he's telling us that those who do good actions, he says, the light that is present inside the human action, this is important, inside the human action, because this is the way the divine will operates in the creature, in the actions of the creature. And the divine will does not impose itself in the creatures, because we all have human will, freedom, the capacity to say yes or not. That's why every time that we invite the divine will to operate in our actions, in the human action that we perform, wherever it is, as long as it is not a sinful action, the divine will is able to operate through our human actions. And it will produce good. It will be able to produce that light. But what our Lord Jesus is going to explain is that, again, compared to the one who is operating in the divine will, that light is different. So he's telling us those actions apart from the divine will, they are good. They produce light, but maybe a little sparkle of light, the light of a match, of a little lamp. The Lord says, so are the lights formed, some small, some a little larger, talking about the creatures doing good, but operating apart from the divine will. But even though by virtue of their little lights, they receive the good of not remaining in the dark, as well as those who surround them, they do not have the virtue of making the night turned into day. So they might be even like cities or houses which possess the good of many electric lights, which are also subject to becoming extinguished. But being able to change the night into day, this will be impossible for them, because it is not in their nature of the light formed by human industriousness, whether in the soul or in the body, to be able to form the full day. Only the sun possesses the virtue, this virtue of dispelling darkness, the darkness of the night, and of forming its full day, which blazing with light and heat, gladdens the earth with all its inhabitants. And wherever it shines, it produces its vital effects for all nature. So the one who is doing already good is already on the way, but is not there yet. Through the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, our Lord wants us to possess the original grace of holiness. He wants us to go back to the original state in which Adam was created. And Adam, he possessed that virtue of operating in union with the divine will. In him, it was natural for him to operate in that way, because that's the way he was created, in that union. Now, only believing in my will and operating in its continuous daytime, and as the soul operates, be her action small or great, she acts under the reflection of the eternal and immense sun of my fiat. And as it is reflected in the action of the creature, by virtue of it, the sun is formed in the human action, and in the creature remains in possession of these suns, which make her enjoy continuous full day. And since these suns have been formed by virtue of the reflection of the sun of my divine volition, which possesses the source of light, the human action converted into sun. So our Lord Jesus is able to give to our simple actions this value, to fill these little actions, human actions that we do, with that multiplicity, with that fullness of the divine will. So every action that we do in his union, in the union of the will of God, possesses that fullness of light. So basically the comparison that our Lord Jesus is doing here is comparing the light of a match with the light of the sun, which there is no comparison. The light of the match is what the human will produces without the unity, without possessing the unity, the operating of the divine will in the action. And only when the creature does good, it is telling us that when the creature is doing good, it produces some light, some kind of light. It can be as little sparkle, because goodness in itself produces something. But because the creature operating apart from the divine will, separated from the will of God, is able to produce only that in the good actions, little sparkles of light. But we were not designed to produce that in our actions. We were designed to produce, for every good action, for every action, we were designed, Adam was designed to produce the light of a sun, and even one more refulgent than the others. This is what volume 14 tells us about the prevenial and the actual act. That when our actions are united to his will, when we call the divine will in the actual act, it has the virtue to dispel any darkness, to expand our soul, our capacity, and then to produce light in us, the light of the sun, one more refulgent than the others. And it has the virtue to multiply it as for many acts as we do. And again, one more refulgent than the others. So the comparison that he is doing here is that our good actions done apart from the divine will, which can be with so many sacrifices, so many sufferings, so many good things, so many works of charity that we can do, so many pious words, so many good prayers and everything, but they still don't possess the unity of the divine will operating in us. They will produce some good, yes. So continue to do those. But understand also that we were not designed to produce only little sparkles of light. We were designed to have in us a sun, the light of the sun, and even one more refulgent than the others, brighter and brighter, operating in the divine will. So you can see there is no comparison. So when our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picaretta that this is the call for the creature to go back to the order, to the place in which we were created, it is basically the call for all of us to go back to the state of grace in which we were created, the original state of grace, which is possessing the divine will operating in us. The divine will operating in us, as this passage says, continuously, the divine will operating in the creature continuously, as it operate, for example, in the life of the Blessed Mother. Later on, I'm going to read a passage to illustrate this a little bit more. But for now, let's continue. My divine will, my divine volition, which possesses the source of light, the human action converted into sun, is nourished by the source of light. See, that human action that we do united in the divine will, then it's been nourished. The divine will nourishes that little action, that simple blinking of the eye, that simple breathing. The divine will is able to nourish that simple action and therefore to convert it into a refulgent sun that gives praise, glory, honor, adoration to God. So is nourished by the source of light, and therefore they are not subject to either becoming extinguished or decreasing in light. Why? Because, as the Lord says, they possess the source of that light. So another example maybe that will illustrate this to understand is that it is better to possess the whole sun within us than just to possess a little ray of the sun. To possess the sun is to possess the whole light, the heat, the brightness, the source of life, basically. But to possess only one little ray of the sun compared to the whole sun, it is nothing. So little. See then what great difference exists between one who operates and lives in my will and one who does good outside of it. Many times I encounter this situation, especially with my brother priest, because some of them, they say, but I already do so many pious things, so many devotions. So I don't have time to study really the divine will. But the Lord here is telling us really what is the difference. And we can even continue to do those good things. The only thing that we have to change is the will, to ask our Lord to come and operate in us, and we will continue to do those prayers. We will continue to do those good works. But now those prayers and those good works that we do, they will acquire a different value. Why? Because they will be nourished. They will be nourished with the source of light. They will possess the source of light. Therefore, they will not be able to be extinguished forever. For all eternity, will say praise, glory, honor, and adoration to God who created me. So this is what happens with every act that we do in union with the will of God. Every single act says praise, glory, honor, adoration to God who created me. And as the Lord says, it doesn't have it cannot be extinguished. It cannot decrease. Why? Because by the possession of the source of light, it will be nourishing always and always. It is the difference that passes between one who can form the sun and many suns, and one who can form light, and one sun is enough to eclipse all the lights, and all the lights together do not have the virtue nor the intensity of light to be able to surpass the sun. Maybe another example here that we can put is, you know, you can put all the light of all the stars and the moon together. And as beautiful as they are, and as many as they are, they don't have the power to eclipse the sun. The sun still is brighter than all of them together. It is the difference that passes between one who can form the sun and many suns, and one who can form light. And one sun is enough to eclipse all the lights, and all the lights together do not have the virtue nor the intensity of light to be able to surpass the sun. In order to comprehend this with more clarity, you can see in it the order of the universe, that all lights of whatever kind formed by the human industriousness are incapable of forming the day. On the other hand, the sun created by my creative hands, even though it is one, forms day because it possesses the source of light placed in it by its creator. And therefore, it is not subject to decreasing in light, symbol of those who live in my divine will. In all of their acts, flows, and act of divine life, a creative strength, which has the virtue of forming suns, nor does it lower itself or want to form little lights, but suns, which are never extinguished. From this, you can comprehend how the good produced by the human will, though it cannot form the day, is always a good for men. And creatures receive the utility of light in the night of the human will. This night of the human will is formed by the absence of the divine will operating in the creatures. If the soul was designed to have the light and the life of God, once the divine will is absent from that soul, the soul remains in darkness. So we can say the absence of the divine will operating in the creature is what it forms, the dark night of the soul. Because the soul is missing the divine light operating in it, is missing the divine presence of the divine will operating in every action. This is what the Lord tells us here, that it is through every human action. He says the divine will operating inside the human action is able to multiply. But it is through the human operation, through the operation of the human will. So if the soul was designed to have the divine light of the divine will operating in it and doesn't have it, then the absence of the divine will in the soul is what forms the deep, deep, deep dark night of the soul. We can say that this is something that the saints They experienced and they knew somehow that they were designed to have union with God. What comes to mind is St. John of the Cross. For St. John of the Cross, the highest level of union with God that you can achieve is to possess, to have the union of the two wills. And then he says, once I acquire that union, then that union transforms my actions. It's a transforming union. And he was right, because by the union of the human and divine will, the human action is transformed. To give the example that our Lord Jesus is using, is transformed into light. A light that will not decrease, but it will always remain with that brightness. So that transforming union of what St. John of the Cross was talking about now is been more, is been explained to us through the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta. And this is exactly, I would say, the message that the Book of Heaven is given to all of us, that by returning to that state of grace in which we were created, which the Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us that this union consisted in having the divine life operating in us, already through the sacraments, we receive that participation of the divine life in us. Already God shares his divine life through the sacraments. This grace of original holiness, talking about what Adam possessed, was to share in the divine life. We share in the divine life when we receive the sacraments. And the church is always calling us to be in the state of grace, always. To those who are not married and living together, the church says, you have to receive the sacrament of matrimony, to have the blessing of God, to have your marriage sanctified, blessed. To those who are not baptized, the church says to receive the sacrament of baptism, because through that we receive the divine participation. We become the temples of God. We become the living tabernacle of God, the living temple. To go back to confession, always to be in the state of grace. So see, the church has been calling us already to be in the state of grace. Now the Lord goes beyond through the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta. The Lord is calling us not only to be in the state of grace, but to go back to the original state of holiness that our first parents, Adam and Eve, possessed. What the Blessed Mother possessed by grace, what our Lord Jesus possessed by nature, and in the way Adam was created. And we will go back to that state of holiness through the church, through the sacraments, and through having the continuous operation of the divine will through our human acts. It has to be an operation that is continuous in us. The divine will continuously operating inside the human actions of the creatures. And the church has understood this and invites us in the third petition of the Our Fathers The church tells us the following. In the third petition, we ask God our Father to unite our will to that of his Son, so that he may continue also as to fulfill his plan of salvation in the life of the world. So this idea of uniting ourselves to the will of God is not something new in the church. It's not a new teaching. It has been in the church. The Catechism of the Catholic Church 2860 tells us about this in the when it comments about the third petition of the Our Fathers. Now for us, in order to go back to that original state of holiness, we have to go through the life of the church, the sacramental life. We have to receive the sacraments, and we have to invite the divine will to have this knowledge of this divine science. And this is what we are trying to spread to all peoples everywhere, so that they may come to know that the kingdom of the divine will is already here. The kingdom of the divine will is already here. The kingdom of heaven is already here, waiting for all of us to open the doors so that it can operate through our human acts. Let's continue what the Lord says here. From this you can comprehend how good produced by the human will, though it cannot form the day, is always a good for men, and creatures receive the utility of light in the night of the human will. It serves them so as not to die in the thick darkness of sin. Those lights, though small, direct their steps, allow them to see the dangers, and draw many paternal goodness towards them, seeing that they make use of the night of their human will to form at least little lights, so as to direct their steps along the path of salvation. It was precisely this that drew all our tenderness and our paternal goodness toward Adam. He had comprehended what living in our divine will meant. And with his little acts, just as with the greatest, he ran inside our created virtue, and they were invested by the Son of the eternal fiat, which, being son, had the virtue of being able to form as many sons as he wanted. And in seeing himself empty of this creative strength, he could no longer form sons. And so, poor one, he tried as hard as he could to form little lights. And in seeing the great difference between his original act and that after sin, he felt such grief as to feel himself dying at each act of his. The Supreme Being felt touch and admired the industriousness of poor Adam, who, no longer able to form sons, did his best to form little lights with his acts. And because of this, he kept for him the promise of the future Messiah. So we see that those little acts, the good acts done in apart from the divine will, they have the virtue to produce some good And it is precisely by those acts done in done, those good acts, that God was able to send the Redeemer for us. And we know through the Book of Heaven, of course, that the Blessed Mother, the prayers of the Blessed Mothers in the Divine Will was finally what caused the Divine Will to descend for the Word to be incarnated, for the Word to descend and become flesh, to redeem us. By virtue of those good acts done by so many good people in the Old Testament. And finally, what make the divine will descend to become flesh, for Jesus to become flesh, was the prayers of the Blessed Mother. We can say that the prayers of the Blessed Mother was what crowned all other prayers and make it really descend. Our Lord Jesus is talking about, in this passage, about the little acts, the simple acts that Adam did, that he performed. And there is a passage in the Book of Heaven that tells us about the Blessed Mother, how the acts that the Blessed Mother did, how they brought so much light in every one of their acts, and that each act that the Blessed Mother performed was an act of prayer, praise, glory, honor, and thanksgiving to God. I'm going to read a passage from volume 36 about the Assumption of Blessed Mothers. And this is what our Lord Jesus says. This is August 15, 1938. My blessed daughter, today is the Feast of the Assumption. This is the most beautiful, the most sublime, the greatest feast in which we remain glorified, love and honor the most. Heaven and earth are invested with an unusual joy never before felt. The angels and the saints feel as if invested with new joys and new happiness, and they all praise with new songs the sovereign queen who in her empire rules over all, giving joy to all. Today is the Feast of Feasts, the unique one, the new one, which was never repeated again. Today, the Day of the Assumption, celebrated for the first time the divine will operating in the sovereign queen and lady. The marbles are enchanting in each of her smallest acts. See, it is the divine will operating in the creatures. So when our Lord Jesus talks about the feast of the divine will, it's not only the feast of the divine will, it's the feast of the divine will operating in the creature. So every time that the divine will operates through our human acts, it is a feast for the divine will, a feast that the divine will makes in our souls, in our single acts. So the marbles are enchanting in each of her smallest acts. Many of our divine lives, excuse me, let me go back. Even in her breathing, in her motion, many of our divine lives can be seen flowing in her act as many kings, which more than bright suns inundate, surround, and embellish her, making her so beautiful as to form the enchantment of the celestial regions. Do you think it is nothing that each one of her breaths, motions, works, and pains were filled with many of our divine acts, divine lives? This is exactly the great prodigy of my will operating in the creatures to form a divine life for each time it could enter the motion and the acts of the creature. That's very important. This is exactly the great prodigy. What prodigy? That every act, it says, the smallest motion will allow the divine will operating in the creature to produce new joys, new happiness, to love, to adore, to glorify, and to honor God. This is the great enchantment, the grace, the great surprise, the great prodigy. My will operating in the creature to form divine life for each time it could enter the motion and the acts of the creatures. And listen to what the Lord says in this passage that we read in 23. It says, according to the good present inside the human action and to the multiplicity of its actions, so are the lights formed, some small, some larger. The same prodigy that God was able to do through every single act of the Blessed Mother, even the smallest one, the simple act of moving, of breathing, can do if we allow the divine will to operate inside every human action, motion, every act, if we unite ourselves in the divine will. But this has to be continuously. The divine will wants to have its motion, its life in each one of us. So we understand that in order for the divine will to enter, to operate in us, we have to remain in the state of grace. We have to invite the divine will to operate in us constantly, because we don't possess that divine will, that gift, as the Blessed Mother possess it. We don't possess it as our Lord Jesus possesses it, because he possesses it by nature. We don't possess it like Adam, because Adam was created with this gift. The Blessed Mother is in one of the lessons of May. She tells us that the only thing that Adam was to do was to remain in the unity, because he already had the possession of that gift. We have to ask for this gift that may be bestowed to us through every single act. And then a little by little, through every single act, we will be confirmed in this gift. Every single act in union with the divine will have that light, that source of light that the Lord is talking about in this passage. I want to read something from the Catechism that is important for us to understand also, because so many people that I hear about this gift of living a divine will, they have many doubts. They question it as something new. And as I explained to you, this is not something new. This is something that the church has been teaching us. And to help you understand this. I'm going to read number 66 from the Catechism, which talks about revelation and private revelations. It says the following: the Christian economy, therefore, since it is the new and definite covenant, will never pass away, and no new public revelation is to be expected before the glorious manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yet, even if revelation is already complete, it has not been made completely explicit. It remains for Christian faith gradually to grasp its full significance over the course of the centuries. Jesus is the fullness of revelation of God the Father. There is no other revelation. But the church says that even though that's true, it says yet, even if revelation is already complete, it has not been explained, completely explained. It has not been made completely explicit. So it remains for the Christian faith to gradually understand, to grasp its full significance. The writings of the Servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, we have to interpret those, right, in union with the church, the understanding of the church. This is not something new. What is new about it is being explained. What is hidden in the Gospels, what is hidden in sacred scriptures, we're able to see it when we study the Book of Heaven. Actually, they complement each other. The Book of Heaven helps us to understand the fullness of revelation. So through the lens of private revelation, we look at the fullness of revelation to be able to understand it, because we haven't understood the fullness of revelation. To give you an example, in the person of our Lord Jesus, we see two natures, two wills, the human and the divine. But through the writings of the Servant of God, we understand how they operate, the two of them, in the person of Christ. That in the person of Christ, the union of the two wills, they remain always with any conflict. The two wills, they were always in union. That the human will did not oppose the divine will in the person of our Lord Jesus. So when we read the Book of Heaven, when we read the Book of Heaven, we understand that revelation that is Jesus. We understand more who Jesus is. We understand the person of Jesus. In the same way in which Christ cannot be understood, without understanding the incarnation, we cannot understand the divine will without understanding Jesus. We need to understand who Jesus is to understand the divine will. Because to live in the divine will is to possess the interior life that Jesus possesses. To possess the interior life that the Blessed Mother possesses by grace. And by understanding this, it will help us to understand what was it that Adam possessed before the fall, and what we are called to possess through the Book of Heaven. We understand how to arrive to that unity of the two wills, to possess the two wills operating in us also, not by nature, but through every single act done in union with his will, by giving up our human will, by giving our human will to the Lord and letting him operate through every single act. Then we will arrive to the possession of that same life that Jesus possessed, the interior life, him, in him by nature, in the Blessed Mother by grace, and in us by doing continuous acts in the divine will. So today we finish with this. Let's pray an Our Father together and ask the Lord to bestow upon us this great gift in our souls. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. May the blessing of the Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon each one of you and remain with you forever. Amen. Thank you for listening. God bless you.